Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
I'm Mark Pugh. I'm one of the pastors here at The Vine, and it's great to be here. It's great to be able to share from God's Word as we continue to go through Matthew, and we're looking at chapter 6 today towards the end of it, and we get to enjoy that. We're in this sermon series that we're calling Living Intentionally for God's Kingdom. And today we're at the part of the passage that we get to explore and talk about a really popular and fun topic. The topic's called anxiety. Nobody wants to talk about anxiety. You know, but unfortunately, most of us deal at least a little bit with anxiety in our lives. We worry a little bit. Maybe on a good day, anxiety derails us a bit, makes us not enjoy the moment. Other days, anxiety, though, can be debilitating. I can remember about 10 years ago, Rhonda had a major back surgery, reconstruction surgery. I left the surgery room, went to go wait, and I was absolutely a mess. I was unhinged. I couldn't work my way through it. All I could think about was losing her. It's hard to think about right now. There are times that we need others to help us. There are times we need others to help us medically. Sometimes we need therapy just to get back on track, and that's okay. You know, I think anxiety, it can be like a disease that we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to seek help for it. And when we do, sometimes we're not seeking the right treatment options. And so fortunately this morning, we're going to see that in our passage, Jesus, he prescribes a really great treatment plan for anxiety. So let's start with a little context. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, we're in Matthew 6. Jesus has been teaching his disciples, a bunch of other people. He's done some miracles, so there's a big crowd now. And like a lot of passages, we kind of need to know what happened right before this passage to understand our passage well. So last week, Pastor Tim, he told us that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve God and recognition. And we can't serve God and control. And a lot of times, control kind of shows up with how we spend our money. In Matthew 19 to 24, this is the section right before our scripture, we're told that we shouldn't be storing up treasures here on earth. We ought to be storing treasures in heaven. And then Jesus tells us, hey, you know, where your treasure is, there's your heart. Even more pointed in verse 24, he says, you can't serve God and our possessions. And these verses are important to understand as we read our passage. So let's take a look at our passage. This is Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in there. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, you know, before we start looking for the best treatment option for anxiety and worry, I thought we'd just look at like two quotes for what that is, anxiety and worry. And the first quote is from Winston Churchill. He says, anxiety is an emotional spasm which occurs when the mind catches hold of something and will not let it go. And then Corrie ten Boom, an amazing woman held in concentration camp in World War II, says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. So what causes anxiety? What causes us to worry? And I think we get a little glimpse of this in verse 25, the first verse. We also see some of it from last week's verses, 19 to 24. Verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And whenever we see this word, therefore, in Scripture, this is a great takeaway. We always need to ask ourselves, why is it therefore? And we saw last week, and we already talked about this a little bit in verse 19 and 24, that Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. Therefore, you can't serve God and your possessions. And so we got to pick one. We got to pick one to serve. And if we pick anything in our life to serve other than God, we may be experiencing some anxiety. Jesus also gives us a couple of common things that might cause us anxiety and worry. Things like, you know, do we have enough money to eat and drink and to buy clothes with? And these are all surface items, but they're kind of important. But I don't think that's the point here. Because Jesus starts by saying, don't be anxious with your life. And just before that, he's told us that where we spend our money is a reflection of our hearts. So I think Jesus is way more concerned about our heart's desires than he is exactly what we're doing with our money. But money is a big item for us. It exposes our heart in it. And it can cause us a lot of anxiety. You know, for us today, what causes anxiety? Well, I'd throw in our kids. You know, how they're doing is a reflection of how we are with ourselves and our ability to parent. I'd include our government and whether the people we voted for is in office or not. I see a lot of people struggle with anxiety over that. I see people struggle with anxiety over who's in charge. And we forget who's in charge. It's not the president. God's in charge. He's on the throne. You know, at its root, anxiety is a symptom of a bigger problem. I think it starts the fall. I think it started when man chose their own way, wanted to be God, introduced sin into the world, and now we live in a broken and fallen world, and as a part of that, we have to deal with anxiety. But anxiety can come from worrying or wondering about what's going to happen to me or something that's really important to me, like my wife. You know, there's a great quote from Matthew Henry, an old reverend. He says, there is scarcely any one sin against which our Lord Jesus more largely and earnestly warns his disciples or against which he arms them with more variety of arguments than the sin of disquieting, distracting, distrustful cares about the things of life, which are a bad sign that both the treasure and the heart are on the earth. And therefore, he largely insists upon it. It is a repeated command of the Lord Jesus to his disciples that they should not divide and pull in pieces their own hands with care about the world. Oftentimes, what causes us anxiety is our identity. Or at least what we believe our identity is. Things like, how much money do we have? How big a deal is my job? How's my health? How's my looks? How are my kids? These all make up our identity at times. And these things they're not necessarily evil. But they can easily cause anxiety as these areas in our life get messed with. They don't go the way we want them to go, and that causes us stress. You know, we've talked about this before. A last year, that I think that we all tend to try to build this brand up that represents us. It's kind of our image to others, and it's what we put our trust in. Our brand can give us approval. It can give us comfort and control and security, and again, all these things are great until someone or something takes any of it away from us. And when that happens, we probably suffer anxiety. Some people, instead of making up their own brand, they end up allowing other people to dictate their brand. And that causes all sorts of problems. You know, it's easy for us to forget Galatians 2:20. We've been crucified with Christ, and our identity is fully in Him. We forget that it's God, and it's only God. It's only God that gives us our identity or our brand. You know, I've heard people tell me before, well, I'm a worrier, Mark. That's just the way God made me. And I do think, some people can be more predisposed to anxiety or worry, but that's not your identity. God didn't make us to be a worrier. You know, when we're in this state of worry or anxiety, oftentimes it's a symptom that we're focusing in on ourselves and our circumstances, and we're not being focused on what God is doing, that His love for us. We've forgotten what He's capable of. We're no longer trusting Him. Now, again, I want to be sensitive to this because I know there are times that we need help. We need help from others. When I was in a mess with Rhonda's surgery, I was trying really hard to pray. I was doing some praying, but I couldn't pray through it. And I knew God. I was asking God, hey, you're in control of this. Help me out here. I knew that He was in control, and yet I still couldn't not be scared. It was so much so that I had to call a couple of people I had dear friends with, and they helped me calm me down and reminded me of the gospel truth. We need people like that in our lives. You know, our passage this morning in Matthew 6, it reminds us that we've got to practice trusting Jesus' plan. You know, there are other indicators and symptoms in our life that could alert us to the fact that we're really not trusting God with our future or maybe even our daily bread. You know, there's a lot of people, and I've probably been one of these in the past, that you get really worried about your money and your career, and so you work a lot. Feel like you got to work all the time. Or maybe exercise and eating is really important, so we got to live healthily. So we work out and we eat healthy all the time. And, you know, exercise and eating healthy is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But we kind of got to ask ourselves, what's going on in our heart with all these things? Are we trusting God in it? Or are we doing this out of our own efforts? You know, another passage that's kind of, I think, helpful in this is Galatians 5:1. He says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand there firm, therefore, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So much of what we get wound up over in this world is really just pushes us into a yoke of slavery. So what's your warning sign that you're not trusting the Lord? You know, in the past, mine would have been checking out, starting to problem solve, not really being present with the house. That would lead me possibly to obsessively making a list. Because if I can make a list, I was good, right? I could see I can get this stuff done. And at some point, I'm back in control. That was kind of my sin. I want to be in control. The list was just a symptom. And we all have these things. We have all these things that we have to ask God, what's going on here? Help me with this. For me, I did see the Lord help me with that. I don't worry as much. I don't make as many lists now. I mean, there's been some good movement that the Lord has helped me to work through. But I like to think I've bumped up a little bit in terms of what is my vice now. I've got a better one. I like to plan. So I'm not making as many lists, but I'm planning. Man, I plan all the time. I really like it. I know it's a little weird, but I like to plan my day. I like to plan my week. Sometimes I like to plan my month. I've got a life plan.
If you guys want to know about my life plan, I'd share it with you if you want to do a life plan. I love working on a strategic plan for the church or other organizations. I do. Here's what's best. Next year, I already know pretty much most all my vacation days and what I'm going to be doing. Now, you know, there's some good in that. There's some good because it does. It helps me to live a very intentional life. One that I can focus in on and hopefully give that over to the Lord and say, who do you want me to meet with? Where do I need to spend my time? And that's good. But that much planning, it can be a symptom. It can be a symptom where I'm not trusting the Lord. I'm not allowing Him to lead because I'm leading. I'm not trusting that God has tomorrow figured out. One of the worst examples of this is my retirement plan. And I'm pretty sure there's some other people that have this same problem. I like to look at my retirement plan. Most of the time when I look at it, it brings me a little security and comfort. When it's doing well, my brand is good. But, unfortunately, I might would rather save some money for it than give some money away to something that God is asking me to do now. But I'm not really listening. Because to do that, I kind of need to trust my future to the Lord. Sometimes I don't want to do that. Saving for our future, it's important. You know, unlike most of the world, the Western culture, we don't necessarily expect the younger generation to take care of us. We don't want to be a burden to them, so we save. And saving for future problems, again, that is not a bad idea. It's a good idea. But what determines whether our planning, our saving, or our worrying is sin? And it's our heart. It's our heart's motives. So here's a couple of questions to think about. Are we finding our security in the saving? Are we finding peace in that? Or are we seeking and listening for God's will in our decisions? Are we living generous lives right now as we save? You know, do we realize that everything we have could be taken away, and yet God would still love us and care for us? You know, the last job I had before working at the church was this marketing firm down in Buckhead. I was there a little over 10 years, and we had some great years, and we had some not so great years. And I can remember a couple of seasons where we were having a hard time paying our people and paying our bills. And that was anxious. I'd be lying if I wouldn't worry about figuring out how to make payroll. But what was so good in it was that, you know, God grew me. I had moments where I know that I was stressing out about it. And at some point, we all deal with this stuff. But the question is, you know, because I think it's normal in some ways to have some anxiety and worry. But at one point, do you need to let that go? When does it become a problem? And I think it's when you're starting to affect other relationships. When you're not doing the things God has called you to do, that becomes a problem and we might need to seek help. I can remember one time I was having a really hard time being present with the family, and I was thinking about who we're going to have to let go. And I'd love to say that my worry or anxiety was 100% because I felt bad for whatever this was going to happen. I'm sure I did feel bad about it. But I have a feeling some of my issue was that my brand was taking a hit. You know, my brand that I wanted to be successful, that I wanted to be approved of, that was taking a hit. And I'm sure that was bothering me because my identity was not fully in Jesus. I love Jesus, but to be happy, I needed Jesus plus a little something. I needed approval or maybe success. And I think the more we can realize that as we look at our identity and we see it's Jesus plus nothing else, the less anxiety that we're going to have. Jesus wasn't surprised. He wasn't surprised about or worried about my situation. He had a good plan for me. He always had a good plan. Now, it's easy to forget this. It's just so easy to forget to trust Jesus. When I was prepping for this sermon, I was talking to Ron about it a little bit, and she reminded me of this time that Reese, our oldest, was just learning to drive, and she wanted to go to Six Flags. And I was like, that's a great idea. You ought to go to Six Flags. Rhonda had had an amazing day of worship. She was worshiping, and then Reese left. And she got really worried. She grabs her phone, flips over to Live 360, watches her drive all the way to Six Flags. Yeah. It's you know, it's amazing what we can do now. Because in the last decade or two, we have so much more information. We have this power in our hands to know so much more, but yet I don't think it solves anxiety. I don't think it does. There's a song by Josiah Queen called Dusty Bibles, and he says, and I've been struggling to find peace on my mind. And then the chorus says, we've got dust on our Bibles, brand new iPhones, and we wonder why we feel this way. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people can relate. They can relate to worrying about their kids driving. And honestly, this just shows the beauty of a mom's love for their children. Rhonda would do anything to protect her babies. But I'm worried that we kind of forget, at least in the moment, that God loves us even more than a mom. God can protect us even way better than we can protect our own kids. And this kind of moves us to our next point, which, you know, we know what causes anxiety a little bit now, but why would we trust Jesus' plan for anxiety? And we can see this in verses 26 to 32. In 26 and 27, we see Jesus, he's using the birds as an illustration about how God feeds them every day. And while, you know, I see birds at my house, they're working. I mean, they work really hard. They're building a nest, they're finding food, they're feeding themselves, feeding their babies. But I don't ever see them working overtime, getting some food ready for tomorrow. They just don't do that. They don't know any better. They just trust God's plan for creation. They know food will be there for tomorrow. They don't sit around trying to be God. They don't try to control everything. Now, if it's you and me, we might work a little harder and go grab some food and hang on to it for tomorrow. But Jesus is saying right here, we don't need to do that. He's got us. He loves us. His love is steadfast. It is not going away. He loves us way more than he loves the birds. And here we see, you know, Jesus is telling us something we already know. I think we all know this. You know, worrying, it's a huge, huge waste of time. I mean, it's like kind of sitting on a rocking chair, you know, gives you something to do, you're rocking, but you're not going anywhere. You know, my wife, Rhonda, again, she used to tell the kids and I when they were little, she said, you can't use the word stupid. So I'm not going to say that word. But worrying about what happened in the past, what's going to happen to us in the future, that's a really, really silly, silly thing to do. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying worrying can't add an hour to your life. But I can tell you, it can take away your life. Now, we all need to work. You know, whether it's working to be a great dad, spouse, loving brother or sister, or work that is done outside the house, we should all work hard. Colossians 3 Second Thessalonians has a couple of great verses on this. And my hope is that there's no Christian, especially nobody in this room, that is not working hard, that they're going into their work and maybe quietly quitting. Now, this is a time where we want to do the best we can. We want to display who Jesus is to others. So we do the best job we can on what God has called us to do. And here's what's important. We do the best that we can on what God's called us to do, and then we let Him be in charge of the results. We let Him be in charge. That helps with anxiety and worry. Some of our problem is that, you know, we think that it's us that's holding things together. We think we're doing a pretty good job, and we're capable. And this is great until it's not great. You know, Jesus is saying here to His disciples that we're not truly capable of providing anything on our own. And we have little faith because we tend to want to take credit for the things God's already doing. Because we're not capable of doing things on our own, this worrying about our food and our clothing and our drink and the temporal things of the world, it's just not needed. If you're a child of God, we trust in the finished work of Jesus. That's where our righteousness comes from. We trust in it. And you can know that God is going to take care of your needs. We see more of this in verse 28 to 31, where Jesus reminds us how beautiful the lilies are, how they grow, but they don't work at anything. God clothes them himself. He takes care of them and dresses them up, so much so that the beauty is even more than Solomon. Solomon's one of the richest kings in the history of Israel. And Jesus is saying, hey, these lilies are more beautiful than Solomon could buy of any clothing he wanted in the world. So if our Heavenly Father clothes the lilies, what makes us think he won't clothe us? Again, he's got us. He loves us. His love's not going away. He loves us way more than the flowers are alive today and they're gone tomorrow. And then in verse 31 and 32, we see that we should trust Jesus and his treatment plan for anxiety because he is the creator of all things. He tells us to not be anxious, worrying about what we're going to eat or drink or wear, because he knows what we need. He will provide what is good for us. You know, lately, Rhonda, she's been telling our family, well, why worry about something God has not put you through yet? And it's a great statement because it's a reminder that God's in the midst of all of this. Jesus is telling us that we can trust his treatment plan. And you know what? There's no parent that wants to see their child worrying about paying their parent's utility bill or worried that they're not going to get fed that day. We all want to take care of that need for our kids, and God is, he's no different. God doesn't want us worrying about whether or not he can take care of us. So verses 26 to 32, we see that we can trust his plan that Jesus has for us. We can trust his treatment plan. He's known as the great physician. He holds the whole world in his hands, and he loves us dearly. So if that's true, what does Jesus say is the best treatment for anxiety? And we find this in our last two verses in 33 and 34. And he makes it pretty clear what we're to do. He says, to fight anxiety and worry, we're to live intentionally for God's kingdom. If we look at verse 33, we see, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we put our highest priority of that. We put our highest priority on living intentionally in God's kingdom. And then we also seek his righteousness. We should be really comfortable when we look at this scripture, knowing that as we do that, he says right here, all these things will be added to you. He'll give you what you need to do his will. He's the king. He is capable of this. Verse 33, it says, hey, we're to seek God's righteousness. And I look at that, and I'm like, what does that mean? You know, God's righteousness is his right standing. We're given that. It's being right with him. As we have faith, we're giving this right standing. But it also moves us towards this desire to live righteously when we see the beauty of that gift. And so one of the things we do is honor the Beatitudes. That's what we model our life on. You know, this is the teaching that we've been doing with the Sermon on the Mount, where we mourn over our sin, we're humble, we're hungry for God and what he would have for us. And honestly, this kind of looks like this word we call sanctification. It's where we let God grow us. We learn to put on this new self that Scripture tells us to do and get rid of the old self. And we do that over and over again. And we ask questions like this. We ask, like, during the day, is what I'm about to say or do going to advance God's kingdom? Is it going to give glory to God or not? See, in verse 34, this last verse, Jesus saying that we trust God today in the moment. Let tomorrow be dealt with tomorrow. Again, we seek our daily bread, not our weekly bread. We trust that God is not going to hold something back from us that would prevent us from doing something that he wants us to do. And so if Jesus' treatment plan for anxiety is that we would seek God's kingdom first, well, we probably need to practice that. Because that's not easy to do. It's not. And so I got two thoughts for us on that. To practice, the first thing is to focus on kingdom-minded thought. You know, we ask to learn to seek God's will. We put effort into renewing our minds in Christ. And that's kind of what's involved with putting on this new self. We read and we try to memorize Scripture so that we have it ready when moments of anxiety and worry hits. I used to not love trying to memorize Scripture, but that has been such a blessing for me over the last year. You know, as we renew our minds in Christ, it helps us learn to trust His promises. As we read the Bible and we read it over and over again, it reveals to us over and over again, God is at work. He's got a plan for us. It's a plan to redeem His people, and He always provides what is needed. That's what we see when we read the Bible. To renew our minds, we need community. We need each other. We need help from each other. Last week I was talking to a guy who's in my Iron Form group. That's Christian business owners get together and help each other out. And he was talking about sometimes he broods over his business. He worries about it. And it leaks into his family, and it bothers his wife. And he needs help. He needs help seeing that. And to have other people point him back to God's promises. 2 Corinthians 10 is a great passage that tells us to capture our thoughts. And I think that's really important because, you see, our thoughts, what we put into our mind, what we renew our mind is, our thoughts help determine our feelings. Our feelings fluctuate all the time, but our feelings generally move us towards action. So we need to renew our mind. We see this kind of called out in the Psalms when we look at what King David did. You know, in Psalms, he cries out for God's help often. In Psalm 13, he says, "Will you forget me forever? Will you leave me in sorrow all the day?" I mean, these are feelings. He's upset. But almost every psalm, he comes back around at the end, and you can see him renewing his mind. He's saying the trustworthy, true thing, and he's saying, "But I trust in your steadfast love, Lord. I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to give you the praise." That's renewing his mind on Jesus. And then the second thing to practice is to take kingdom-minded action. You know, that we would be intentional in our lives to be generous. You know, that we would ask God, "Show me what you care about." And we would go pursue that. We would pursue that with our treasure and our time and our talent, because so often we're chasing stuff that does not satisfy us. And being generous, it stands out. You know, if we're image bearers of Christ, when we're generous, people notice. It means creating margin, living below our means, having margin with our finances, having margin with our calendar, so that we can be a blessing to the people that God has given us. Serving others and being generous is a fantastic treatment for anxiety. Worry and anxiety, they are tough. I know that's true. And while we're here, there's not going to be a treatment that fully cures us while we're on earth. But we can trust that we will be fully cured when Jesus returns, because He's going to make all things new. He's going to get rid of all sorrow and all worry. Until then, though, we're called to live intentionally for God's kingdom as the best treatment that we can have for anxiety. So today, just like all, you know, pretty much every other week, we get this opportunity is to come together as a family and take communion together, to look around and see that we need each other, to ask God to help draw us near to Him, but also to love one another. And this is a great moment to just reflect and be, to let God work in our hearts right now. And so I'm going to ask us to just take a moment out and kind of reflect on our walk. There's some questions if you want to look at those, but ask God to, if you need to repent of something, show it to you. Ask God to let you celebrate Him right now. So let's pray and think. And Father, we thank You that You authored this moment since the beginning of time, that You've known Your people, Your family, that You've promised to be our God. And we say thank You for that. Lord, reveal in our hearts what might distract us from You. Lord, help us to celebrate You. It's in Your wonderful Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.